Hello and welcome to Media Geek. This is your weekly look at the world of grassroots and independent media, as well as a critical examination of our media environment. My name is Paul Riis-Vanilla, and I am your host on today's program, The Broadcast Flag. A little bit of digital data that the entertainment industry wants to institute to keep you from recording and using content. My guest today to discuss the broadcast flag is Jeff Nicholson Owens, host and producer of WEFT's Digital Citizen, your biweekly guide to your rights online. And he joins me in the studio here today. Thank you, Jeff, for coming here.
Sure, no problem.
To talk about this. Well, on Tuesday, February 24th, the Senate Commerce Committee, as part of its springtime orgy of telecommunications-oriented hearings, looked into the notion of the broadcast and audio flag. And her testimony from various distinguished persons from both the entertainment industry and consumers groups, as well as the American Library Association, about what kind of impact, if they instituted this thing, what it would have on fair use, what it would have on the entertainment industry, what it would have on learning. And we'll hear a little bit of that testimony because it's very interesting. And then this is the kind of thing that on Digital Citizen you report on all the time, which is basically our copyrights online, fair use online, our civil liberties online. So maybe you can break down for us, Jeff, a little bit of what is the broadcast flag.
The broadcast flag is a small bit of information that essentially sets an on-off state. It tells compliant devices like future video recorders that work digitally, future radio listening devices that work digitally, whether the recording portion of their device should be enabled or disabled. And theoretically, a program could be broadcast with the broadcast flag set one way and allow recording and allow digitally passing on of information. And if you set it the other way, it disallows the same information to be passed on. It disallows recording. So it gives recording and passing on control to the broadcaster or the copyright holder instead of you, the viewer, and the listener.
And in the past year, actually last year in 2005, the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, actually passed a regulation that would have required all electronics manufacturers that would be capable of receiving a digital signal like digital television or high def television, which is coming on board between now and 2009, to be able to receive this broadcast flag, and then also, if it received it, to quit recording. And this would have applied to DVD recorders, it would have applied to TiVos or PVRs, it would have applied to just about anything, including computers, that would have some kind of receiver card that could take in a digital video signal. But that didn't quite fly.
Yeah, the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals tossed out the broadcast flag unanimously and said that the FCC did not have the authority to mandate what they were trying to mandate. This was a really good step in the right direction, but the signal that got received, if pardon the pun, by the corporate copyright holders is we need to change that authority. We need to give the FCC the authority to mandate this. Then the courts will fall in line. So that's what they're pursuing now. It's worth noting that this is, just as you said, a very broad change to our entire technological landscape. All these devices that we have now give you, the user, the freedom to choose what to record. But they're not going to work anymore, or at least they're not going to work legally once the MPAA and the RIAA and all these corporate friends get a hold of the broadcast flag legislation. Because eventually they're going to say you cannot distribute equipment that fails to support the broadcast flag. So what are we going to do? We're going to end up being living in a market where that is just saturated with broadcast flag compliant recorders. So we're going to be told whether we can record stuff.
And it looks to me as though, I mean, if I were NBC or I were Viacom or CBS, I would have very little incentive to put out many broadcasts that didn't have the flag. I mean, when given the choice between saying, oh, well, no, you can't record Desperate Housewives. You need to download it from the iTunes, you know, music store, right, for $1.99 a pop. What are you going to choose? Why would I let you go ahead and record it for free, even though the broadcast spectrum that I'm using to broadcast it as ABC is free to me from the U.S. government, for which they've never paid a dime? Or regardless of how that comes down, given that choice, you think, why would I choose to let consumers record it? But now the legislation, which is being floated to like the Senate Commerce Committee, even goes further than what the FCC was going to regulate a year ago.
Yeah, and it covers all sorts of devices, all sorts of uses of ordinary technology that we doing things we take for granted. What if you want to record, for instance, a public affairs program, say something where the president shows up on one of those Sunday morning chat shows, and you want to record this so that you can analyze it and break it down and explain why this part's true and this part's false and so on. If the broadcast flag is set to deny your recorder the ability to record, where are you going to get a copy of this? What if they choose not to distribute a copy of this on some music service or some TV service? What happens to your freedom to analyze things that go over the air? What happens to your ability to speak freely? Well, it all gets taken back a notch. They set themselves up as a gatekeeper.
Well, and indeed, the draft legislation being floated goes one further than the FCC legislation, because not only does it say that a recorder must support the broadcast flag, but that any future recorder-like device must go in front of the FCC first.
Right. That's all governed by the FCC. They, in fact, organizations that make devices like Sony or Panasonic or something have to essentially run their designs past the FCC first and say, is this okay? What if we add this feature? Is that okay? And the FCC could sit on it for long enough where it's no longer a competitive device anymore, or they might choose to play favorites and say, well, we like this organization better than that one, so we're going to sit on the latter's request for information. Or they could choose to say something like, we're going to publish a very vague standard that describes what we're going to allow, but it's so ill-described that nobody is actually going to be able to use it in practice.
Like indecency standards.
Right.
You know, and what, you know, a lot of groups like the Electronic Frontier Foundation are saying is that basically if the broadcast flag had been passed in the year 2000, we probably never would have had TiVo.
Yeah. And
for example.
Right. And we probably would never have had the VCR. You know, the VCR was challenged in the 80s when Jack Valenti came to Congress and said that the VCR is to the Hollywood movie industry as the Boston Strangler is to a woman alone.
And yet it rescued the movie industry by giving them a whole new channel of revenue they'd never had before, as they were at that time taking a beating from television and other venues of entertainment. The ability to sell movies on video cassette really brought them back from oblivion, from really suffering badly.
And the whole rental market,
that never existed.
That's billions of dollars we're talking about that would not have existed. And when you look at the history of radio saying, well, that's going to kill artists, the innovation in art is just going to die because people are going to have easy access over the air to be able to listen to stuff they want to hear.
And we'll actually get to that argument because, much to our surprise, a senator at the on the Commerce Committee made that very argument that you're talking about. And we'll listen to him in a little bit. And let's actually turn to some of his testimony. Because I think very often it's interesting to hear our elected officials in their own words, as well as to hear the representatives of both of various groups as well as corporations at the Senate Commerce Committee. It's not the kind of thing that really ever makes the front of NBC Nightly News. So why don't we'll start here. We'll just listen to Senator Ted Stevens, who is who's doing the introduction here. He is the chair of the Senate Commerce Committee, one of the most powerful committees in the Senate, therefore making Senator Stevens from Alaska one of the most powerful senators in the Senate. And here he is setting it up, and you'll be able to tell that he's a pretty big fan of the broadcast flag.
Some time ago, a group of us joined together and asked the FCC to deal with the issues before us now. And this broadcast flag was developed to protect the over-air digital television programming from piracy. The FCC adopted that broadcast flag rule, which the consumer electronics industry had begun to implement by developing devices that complied with its requirements. But the court has struck down that regulation and held that Congress did not have Congress had not given the commission authority to promulgate the rule. And that's what brings us here today. And we're trying to address the question of whether Congress should provide the FCC the authority to put the rule back in place. Groups like the American Library Association are concerned that if Congress gives the FCC the authority to enforce the broadcast flag, the rights of consumers and educators to copy, watch, and share programs the way VCR recordings are shared will be threatened. Likewise, some consumers want to make sure that they can continue to exercise their fair use rights to record video programming for personal use. It's our task in this committee to consider industry and fair use concerns and to try to find the proper balance between them. Determining how to protect audio content in the age of digital radio and satellite has only recently gained greater attention. The FCC has not yet acted on that front. The creative content side and the distribution side of the music industry should seek mutual ground that supports business models for both. Whether it is an audio flag or alternative, we seek the balance between them and encourage innovative digital services that spur jobs, economic growth, and consumer options like the iPod, against ensuring that the creative genius that brings us all the great pleasure to earn a return on creative investment is encouraged now.
So the threat that underlies, the argument for the entertainment industry is if there is no broadcast flag, there will be rampant piracy, right? Like there is right now, like rampant piracy recording American Idol, I guess, on your VHS, VCR, and then duplicating or your DVD recorder.
One of the problems I noticed in that clip is the senator mentioned bringing back the broadcast flag, which is a slippery way of saying skipping right past the idea that, by the way, the broadcast flag was never firmly in place. Remember, the court shot it down. So that's worth bringing up. But this idea of if we don't have the broadcast flag, we'll have rampant what they call piracy. I think that word asks us to identify with the wrong party. It asks us to identify with the publishers instead of with the public. But let's look at that. What happens when somebody copies something and gives it to somebody else? Like if you're copying Desperate Housewives and giving it to your friends, does that mean your friends would have paid for it otherwise? Well, if not, it's really hard to make an argument that anybody's actually losing any money here. Also, what about the history of these multimedia devices? Radio, television, cassette tapes, 8-tracks, all sorts of recorders. We were told over and over again, just an endless stream of, if we don't have this power, we're going to go out of business. And what's the reality is that these multimedia organizations get bigger and bigger and more profitable over time. So the reality just doesn't match up with the rhetoric.
And we're going to go to someone who is a panelist here who spoke to give testimony. And her name is Leslie Harris, and she's from the Center for Democracy and Technology. And she really addresses some of the things you say in her testimony, and as well gets at some of the core ideas behind there being fair use, the exceptions to copyright law that allow people to copy things or reuse things, and why that is valuable for our culture and our political environment. So here this will be testimony from Leslie Harris from the Center for Democracy and Technology.
Our next witness is Leslie Harris, the Executive Director of the Center for Democracy and Technology. Ms. Harris?
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, Mr. Inouye, members of the committee, behalf of the Center for Democracy and Technology, I appreciate the opportunity to testify today. CDT is a nonprofit public policy organization dedicated to promoting civil liberties and democratic values on the Internet. CDT strongly opposes piracy, and we support balanced policy approaches that protect copyright's legitimate interests in being compensated without stifling innovation and the benefits of new technology. With respect to the broadcast flag, We would urge this committee to take a fresh look and carefully weigh the risks and the benefits, because the risks to innovation and consumer interests are substantial. On balance, CDT believes that Congress should not proceed with flag legislation. But if it does, we urge that it not give the FCC a blank check. Legislation must include carefully crafted limits and safeguards to help minimize the risks. I want to make 3 points. First, the broadcast flag regime involves significant government regulation of technology design. It's not a minor or technical proposal, but entails ongoing government involvement in technology design for any device that might be used to display, receive, record digital television content. And as technology converges, this means not just televisions, but personal video recorders, computers, internet-enabled mobile phones, iPods, computer game consoles. In addition, a flag regime would make the FCC the gatekeeper for entry into the marketplace of new technologies not yet anticipated, because those new video game related devices and features would require FCC approval. We think the FCC is ill-equipped for such a role. Broadcast flag legislation would also set a precedent for additional technology design mandates, some of which are being discussed today. CDT generally opposes such mandates because of their impact on innovation, but as Congress considers whether to start down this path, it has to carefully consider whether and how it can draw a line. Second, the broadcast flag carries risks to innovation and legitimate consumer uses. A broadcast flag regime would make the FCC the final arbiter of which technologies make it to market and when. Technology companies may decide to play it safe rather than seek approval for new features, particularly if the approval process lacks clear standards. This is exactly what happened during the FCC process. Several consumer electronics companies chose to remove innovative features before the FCC even had a chance to rule on them in order to avoid delay in the face of opposition. Another serious risk concerns the public's ability to use digital TV content in ways that constitute fair use. Individuals increasingly use clips of news or public affairs in online learning and in online political commentary circulated by blogs or emails. Application of a broadcast flag to news and public affairs programming, for example, would undermine the potential of the Internet to enhance civic debate in this fashion. Finally, there is a risk of consumer confusion and frustration due to interoperability concerns, both with legacy devices and among different flag technologies. These serious concerns need to be weighed against the potential efficacy of the flag. Even the content industry concedes that regime is not likely to stop determined pirates nor keep popular programs off of peer-to-peer networks entirely. Third, however, if Congress does choose to proceed with flag legislation, it must include clear limits and safeguards. First, any grant of authority must be narrow, only to the extent necessary to prevent flagged content from being redistributed indiscriminately on the Internet. Second, it should specify standards for the technology approval process to ensure that it's objective, predictable, timely, and transparent. Applicants should be permitted to self-certify compliance, and the burden of proof should lie on the party seeking to have a technology rejected. There needs to be an express statement in the legislation that certain reasonable consumer uses, including secure internet transmission to a limited number of devices or internet transmission of limited excerpts, will not be precluded. And finally, there needs to be a uniform time framework. And lastly, should include provisions to reduce the risk to fair use. Certain content should not be eligible to be flagged, including material in the public domain, coverage of debates, political speeches, and news programming. The primary commercial value depends on timeliness. Finally, any broadcast flag legislation should call for fair disclosure to consumers about interoperability limitations. We understand that crafting these limitations require careful work, but they're essential to help minimize the risks posed by a flag regime.
And that is Leslie Harris. She is the executive director at the Center for Democracy and Technology, giving her a very thoughtful opinion on the broadcast flag in front of the Senate Commerce Committee, which met on Tuesday. the 24th of January to talk about the idea of the broadcast flag. You are listening to Media Geek. My name is Paul Riesmandel. My guest today is Jeff Nicholson Owens. He is the host of WEFT's Digital Citizen, your biweekly look at your rights online, and someone who keeps very close tabs on things like copyright law and especially to how it relates to convergence to the digital use of media. And one of the things I think is very interesting about this debate over the broadcast flag is many of the politicians who normally make a big stink about deregulation, who make a big stink about notions like the free market, are the first ones to be here calling for a broadcast flag, which is simply really more regulation. It's both a regulation not only on you and me, but it's a regulation on top of, say, the electronics industry. I don't have a piece here, but a gentleman who, Thomas Patton, who represents Philips North America, made a mention to the committee that if his company is required to implement technology, perhaps they ought to share in the spoils.
Yeah.
And it ought to be that they would be owed some money by the media industry for implementing the copyright flag, which wouldn't benefit, say, Philips, because they don't have any real major media holdings.
And you could also look at it in terms of an exchange. What are we getting in exchange for the broadcast flag? I mean, we, the public. There seems to be nothing we're getting in exchange for this. We're just giving up all sorts of freedom in exchange for nothing. It's not even going to work. The broadcast flag, at the end of the day, it's not going to work. There are tons of devices out there that you can use right now that will continue to operate on digital content that have no broadcast flag implementation in them. There are lots of content available in the analog world that can be copied. And I know they have plans to stop
that. Well, they do.
That.
In fact, some of the drafts of this legislation would basically obsolete things you already own, because it would not be able to use the broadcast flag. So all those RCA connectors that you use to connect your stuff, gone.
Right.
You would have to use newly designed connectors to pass these signals, which would be under direct control of the devices, and it wouldn't be able to pass just an analog signal out. In fact, you'd have to have speakers.
Right.
And in some versions, which would be specifically digitally enabled so that you wouldn't be able to plug them in and into a series of resistors and knock it down so you could record the analog signal. It's called the analog hole there.
Yeah, and you can't. That means you can no longer modify the equipment you own.
Right.
It becomes illegal to change or inspect how the thing works. So
indeed, it's illegal right now to change your DVD player, for instance.
Yeah, and there's a DVD encryption mechanism that it's illegal to pass around, but What does this say in terms of the relationship between technology that we use on stereos and VCRs compared to, say, cars and our electrical equipment and plumbing in our homes? We're free to inspect and modify these things. Why should we give in to some corporate process that says, no, I want to sell you square pipes because my business manufactures square pipes, so everybody should convert to them? That's the kind of logic that we're seeing, the tortured, twisted logic that we're seeing in the electronic world. We just wouldn't stand for in with cars. You wouldn't buy a car with the hood welded shut. Nobody would. Nobody would buy square pipes. Nobody would buy an electrical system for their house that they were forbidden from understanding or repairing. Yet, that's exactly what they're trying to sell you in the electronic world. It's going to have to be up to us to not stand for this. We're going to have to write senators and cause a ruckus and shoot this down.
And as I mentioned earlier, Senator John Sununu, who is a Republican from New Hampshire and also a member of the committee, spoke fairly eloquently to some of these points in opposition to the broadcast flag. And it's interesting about most of these copyright issues, especially with regard to the entertainment industry, tend to be pretty bipartisan. They tend to have both Republicans and Democrats in their pocket. And it was kind of interesting to hear a Republican here speaking out against the broadcast flag, kind of from free market principles. So we'll hear a bit of what he had to say about this. This is Senator John Sununu, Republican of New Hampshire.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. Senator Sununu?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I really just have a couple of points that I would like to make.
Could I interrupt? Anyone who had opening statements will print them in the record automatically. Yes, that's right.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First, about the focus of this debate, and I think Senator Nelson made some good points and raised some important concerns, and I want to pursue them. Much of the discussion here has been about exceptions. What exceptions are we going to have to this broadcast flag? What loopholes are there going to be? And I would want to refocus it on the fundamental question of whether such a flag is even needed in the first place. Now, I think the broad argument for needing a broadcast flag is that we have these new technologies that are different, that represent some unprecedented threat to copyrighted material and to creativity. And I think it's worth questioning that basic premise. Because we have seen, and some of us have seen more closely than others, but we have seen many similar periods of innovation and technology that change the way we deal with, receive, and enjoy copyrighted or otherwise protected material. And not to go too far back, but we have the advent of radio and the threat that presented to performers, music writers, composers. Television, the advent of videotape, Beta and VHS, and the unprecedented threat that we thought that would pose to creative work and content. Cassette tape, cable television, satellite TV, CDs, DVDs, all of these represent enormous steps and transformations in the presentation, distribution, and dissemination of ideas, content, material, much of which is protected, and rightly so, by different forms of copyright. But in all cases, we didn't need to step in with a significant statutory government-regulated mandate on technologies that consumers use to enjoy this material.
And that is Senator John Sununu speaking at the Senate Commerce Committee hearing on the broadcast flag on Tuesday, January 24th. One of the most outspoken opponents of the broadcast flag, a Republican from New Hampshire. So, Jeff, any final words on the broadcast flag?
It's not going to work. It's not worth it. The value we get from doing everything we can to ostensibly stop illicit copying and distribution is far outweighed by the value we get from a leaky copyright system where, yeah, illicit copying goes on, but we preserve our free speech rights, we preserve fair use, and I suggest strongly fighting this. I've found a great deal of value over at action.eff.org on this very topic.
Jeff Nicholson-Owens, thank you for joining me, host of WEFT's Digital Citizen, heard alternating Wednesdays at 8 p.m. That brings to a close another edition of Media Geek. I'll be back in 1 week with more news of our media environment. In the meantime, check out Media Geek online at www.mediageek.org. There you'll find the Media Geek blog, with frequently updated news and views on independent media. You'll also find archive editions of the program in MP3 and the open-source Ogg Vorbis format. You can also subscribe to the podcast to have the program automatically downloaded to your computer or MP3 player. The closing music is Fire in the Sky by Adam Luo. Media Geek is produced live at Community Radio WEFT in Champaign, Illinois. Portions of the program are pre-recorded at Media Geek Studios. Media Geek is also aired on community radio stations KQRP in Salida, California, KRFP in Moscow, Idaho, KRBS in Oroville, California, WSLR in Sarasota, Florida, WTND in Macomb, Illinois, and WRFA in Jamestown, New York. And Media Geek is free to air on your local non-commercial or community radio station, too. Just email Paul at mediageek.org. You can use that email address to send comments, too. I'm always interested to know what you think of the show. Again, that's Paul at mediageek.org. Thanks for tuning in.